Verse 16, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says this: Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstance, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Believer, why you ought to be thankful for the blessings in your life is because, first of all, you're commanded to. There is no option for believers. The all circumstances includes, yes, blessings and hardships, and we'll get to the second part in just a moment. But for the blessings, for the born-again believer, we ought to be thankful for the blessings in our lives. Yes, be thankful for your family and friends, for the clothes on your back, for the food in your belly, and be thankful for the times you don't have what you want to eat. Be thankful for the times you don't get to spend with your friends and family. Why? Because we're commanded to. Because the reality is, when we're not grateful for the blessings in our life, the world looks at us and they see no difference between us and them. Believer, our primary mission in this life is to honor and glorify Christ. Amen? So when we have the blessings in our life, and yet we seem ungrateful for them because someone else may have what we don't have, how different do we look from the world? John MacArthur says it very well. Thanklessness is a trait or fruit of unbelievers. Our primary mission is to glorify Christ. And the one way we do that is we are thankful for the blessings in our life. Therefore, let us reflect and be grateful for the blessings of our life. And when people ask us, why in the world are you so happy with this small house? Why are you so happy with shoes that are literally coming apart? Why are you so grateful for these things in your life? And we can look at them and say, because all I have is Christ. And He's enough. We can say I'm grateful because the God who saved me commands me to. So, believer, our first reason of why we ought to be thankful for the blessings in our life is because we're commanded. There is no option. The second, this is probably my favorite, is because we've been dealt with better than we deserve. That nothing but good has already been done to us. Turn with me now to Romans 5. I told you, we're going to be flipping around a lot, so. Those of y'all who play on your phone a lot, this should be a little easier for you. Romans 5, verses 1 through 11. I'm going to read the entirety of it. It says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love had been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Believer, that is the gospel in a nutshell. Another passage like it is Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. If you don't know the gospel, read these two passages over and over and over, because what it is God dealing with you so much better than you and I deserve. Out the womb, we're born sinners. We're born enemies. We are not children of God when we are brought into this world. That is not a biblical concept. Yet because of who God is, he has dealt with us gently, graciously, and with mercy by crushing his son with our sins. He did this by casting our sins on his son and crushing him for it. Furthermore, it is by God's grace that he gift us the reality that we are saved from his wrath and condemnation through faith in his son, Jesus Christ. We are justified by the bloodshed of Christ. And by faith in him, we are saved from God's wrath, which we so rightly deserve. Believer, why ought we be thankful for the minute blessings in our life? It's because eternally we have been dealt with so much better than what we deserve. Because God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love in which he loved us, gave us his son. And by grace, we can have faith in his son so that eternally we spend with him in glory. So these small blessings in our life that we have today, we can look at them and still be joyful and thankful and grateful for them, because ultimately it is Christ we are most thankful for. Believers, being thankful for the temporary blessings we have in this life is possible because we know that eternally we have been dealt with better than we deserve. Therefore, we ought to be thankful for the blessings in our life. Number three, turn with me now to Psalm 69, verses 30 through 33. Psalm 69. Verses 30 through 33. The third and final reason why we ought to be thankful for the blessings in our life is because it pleases our God who gives them. It pleases God to know that we're thankful for what he has given us. Read with me. The psalmist says, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hooves. When the humble see it, they will be glad. You who seek God, let your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his own people who are prisoners. Now, it's important to know context. Amen? The context of this is that the psalmist is in anguish. He's hurting. Not much of a blessing, is it? But the point here is verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify with him with thanksgiving. Why? Verse 31. This will please the Lord. There is no maybe. There is no if I praise a certain way or if I praise this much or this little. No, he just says, give him thanks. And this will please the Lord. Every believer in this room and outside this room, our desire is to magnify God. Our desire is to please the Lord in our life, not to earn a status with God. That cannot happen. You cannot earn a status with the Lord. Our status has already been bought by the blood of Christ. But to show that our love and gratitude for him and what he has done for us in Christ. The point here is that it pleases God when his people magnify his name with thankfulness. God prefers we be thankful or grateful for who he is and what he has done. And the psalmist alludes to this in verse 33, where he says, for the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his own people who are prisoners. And then in verse 32, when the humble see it, they will be glad you seek God, that your hearts revive. The psalmist, despite his affliction, is thankful for the Lord because he hears him. 33 says again, for the Lord hears the needy. Believer, it is enough to say that God hears you. It is enough to know the reality that God hears your prayers. He may not answer right away. He may never answer. And that's okay, because he hears you. Your voice is not deaf to the ears of God. The psalmist teaches us that the Lord loves it when his people magnify his name with thanksgiving. So believers, why should we be thankful for the blessings in life? Because it pleases God. It pleases our Lord. Now, we could go on and on with other things of why we ought to be grateful for the blessings in our life. But I want to shift gears a little bit and now look at why we ought to be thankful for the hardships in our life. So, fair warning you, if I tear up, I apologize. But this is a hard topic. This is hard to look at the trials and sufferings of our life and at the end of them and even through them say, God, thank you. But we have Christ. So the first reason, go with me now back to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Believer, why should you be thankful for the hardships and trials and tribulation in your life? It is because we are commanded to. There is no option. Now, that's not to say you can't lament to the Lord. Amen? God wants us to cry to him. God wants us to bring our request or our lamenting to his feet. He wants these things to happen. Read the Psalms. That's what most of the Psalms talk about. Lamentations, there's a whole book about it. And we'll turn there in just a moment. But believer, we are commanded in this verse particularly to give thanks to the Lord. Read with me again. Verse 18 now, just this time. Give thanks in all circumstances. This all refers to hardships as well. Yes, during the hardship, we can and should express grief and lament to the Lord. It would be dishonorable if we did not. We should also be thankful for the time of hardship because we are commanded to. And by the power of God's word, by the power of God's Spirit dwelling inside the believer and reminding us of Christ, we look back at the hardship and be thankful for it. And then when the next one comes, we're more prepared to give thanks during it. We can thank God for allowing us to know the loved one we lost. We can thank God for not giving us the job we thought we wanted or needed. We can be obedient to this command of giving thanks in all circumstances when we are most thankful for Christ. Most thankful for what he has done for us. And at the end of that circumstance, we can look back and say, God, thank you. Forgive me, Christ. Now, this is easier said than done. We all know that. That's no surprise. It's easier said than done. But God gives us his word and gives us more reason of why and honestly how we ought to be thankful in all circumstances. So we're going to look at a couple of those now. Turn with me to Lamentations 3. This is where Bible drill and Awana comes in handy. This is probably the one I should have marked in my Bible too. All right. Lamentations 3. Verse 19 through 24. So to give you a little context before we read, Jeremiah is the author of this letter, and he's lamenting over the destruction of Jerusalem, the anguish of his people because of their sin. Jeremiah's heartbroken. He's destroyed. And you see in verses 1 through 19, Jeremiah expresses that heartbreak. He laments to the Lord. I'll just read a couple of verses to give you a taste of it. It says in verse 1, I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me he turns his hand again and again the whole day long. So, and read the rest of it to verse 19, he is lamenting. He's expressing that he is hurting. He is not having a good time. Life is not peachy for Jeremiah. But look at verse 20 through 24. My soul continually remembers it. What is it? And is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. What is it that he remembers? Look at verse 20 again. My soul continually remembers it. What is it? I love how like the smallest words in our language, or just in language in general, have the biggest impact. As a little guy, that actually brings me hope a little bit, right? But what is it? What is the IT? What is it? Verse 22. He goes on, he starts to list off things. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, not yours, not mine, but his. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Jeremiah is pushed to consider, to remember, to dwell mentally in his soul, in his emotion. What is it that about the Lord that I ought to remember in this time of suffering and pain? And he lists off just a few things there. He remembers the steadfast love of the Lord. He remembers that the Lord's mercies are new every morning. Believer, the fact that you got to wake up this morning and see the sunshine, praise God. The fact that you're taking a breath right now, praise God. Because again, we have been dealt with better than we deserve. And because of all that he remembers of the Lord, Jeremiah has what seemed impossible to have at one point in his life at this moment. He has hope. Not because he looked at Jerusalem and said, okay, we're going to rebuild. It's going to be okay. My people, the people are going to repent and turn to the Lord. It's going to be okay. I got fresh new shoes. It's going to be okay. No. He hopes in Yahweh. He hopes in the Lord. Jeremiah's surroundings were crashing and burning around him. And yet, what does he remember? God. He thinks on the Lord. He thinks on who God is, and that is why in the midst of his world crashing around him and burning, literally, he can have hope because of Yahweh. And the same is with us, believer. We can hope in the sufferings because it reminds us of God's faithfulness. That's what Jeremiah was focusing on there. The faithfulness of God. So why should we be thankful for the hardships in our life? Because they remind us of God's faithfulness in the end. It may be hard to see it during it. Is our God not faithful? He is. The third reason of why we ought to be thankful for the hardships of our life is that God uses them to draw us closer to himself. Go to Job chapter 1. Job 1, 2 verses specifically, 20 and 21. Now, it's no surprise that, well, sorry. We all know Job. And if we don't, Job went through it. He went through it. Unimaginably. But just to give you a little more background on Job, Job was a righteous man. Job basically did everything right. He wasn't perfect, he wasn't Jesus, he wasn't God, but he was a righteous man. Not only did he have wealth in cattle and servants, he had a great relationship with the Lord. He led his family spiritually well. Man, we can look at Job in chapter 1 and say, I want to be like that. Job had 10 kids, if my math is right. He had a lot, let's just say that. Job had a lot of kids. And in one day, He loses his cattle, which is how they measured wealth back then. He lost his resources, his servants. And worst of all, he lost his kids. He lost his youngins, his children, however you want to phrase it. And what does he do? Look at verse 20. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. Job worshipped the Lord in the midst of the worst moment of his life. There's no question about that. Now remember, Job was a righteous man. But I would argue Job never got to this level of relationship with the Lord if it were not for the calamities that happened before. Now, I am not proposing that you need to go through suffering in order to get to some kind of next level of Christianity. That's not biblical. But God does use our sufferings and trials, just like he did with Job here, to bring us to a place with him that we never probably would have got to if it was not for the sufferings prior. It's hard to see that in the midst of those sufferings and pains and trials. It is. But we remember the faithfulness of God. But we remember what God does in us and through us in all circumstances of life. Being able to worship the Lord after your children have been taken from you is insane to think about. Nonetheless, Job does it. I believe he was brought nearer to the Lord following the calamities of his life. I don't think Job ever got to the place we see him in these verses before this event. Job's focus of worship was not his circumstance or what he had or what he had lost. Job's hope and satisfaction was in the Lord. We can look at this story as a reminder that God uses the pain and suffering in our lives to draw us closer to himself, to bring us to a place of loving him that never would have happened if those trials and hardships had not occurred. Therefore, we can be thankful for the hardships in our lives because of who God is and how he uses them to draw us near to his loving and never wavering embrace. You don't run to your parents when everything's cool and good. You run to them when you're hurting. You run to them whenever you put your hand on the stove when you're told not to. We run to our Father when we're hurting. We can praise him that we can. He uses our trials and sufferings to draw us to himself. So, the third reason of why we ought to be thankful for the hardships and trials of our life is because God uses them to draw us closer to himself. And the fourth reason that we ought to be thankful for the hardships in our life is because they remind us, those circumstances remind us that our ultimate satisfaction is found in Christ and in Christ alone. Philippians 4, turn there with me now. I mentioned it earlier in the beginning. This is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the Philippian believers in Philippi. And where Paul is writing from is not a very happy place. Paul was writing from prison. And at this point in Paul's life, Paul has been shipwrecked. He has been beaten. He has been starved, thrown in worse prisons than probably what he's in right now. And what does he say in the first verse? "I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You are indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Paul in verse 10, expresses thankfulness for the people who care for him. Paul expresses that he can be thankful in times of low and high. But how? Verse 13. Through him. Who is him? Christ. Paul can abide in much and in little, be thankful for what he has and what he does not have, because his ultimate satisfaction is in Christ and Christ alone. His satisfaction was Christ-centered. Paul was Christ-centered. Hardships remind us that there is nothing in this life that satisfies us, yet they serve to remind us that there is one who is sitting at the right hand of God today who does, and it's Christ. Believer, there is no one in this room that can satisfy you in the midst of trial and suffering. There is no one outside this room nor activity that you can do that can satisfy the pain and the hurt that you are feeling even right now outside of Christ. No one and nothing. Last week I ran a half marathon. I don't recommend it. I try to stay pretty active, and honestly, it's to escape some pain in life by adding physical pain. That does not work out. It's fun to run with other people. It's fun to go to the lake. It's fun to do the things that distract you from the pains of life. It's fun to, do things that distract you. But in the end, they will not satisfy. I could run 75 miles a day and it would not satisfy. That would be terrible. I would never do that. I can hang out with my best friend every day, which I get to. It's my wife. But she doesn't satisfy me. Who does? Christ. Paul, right here, points to us that in the midst of suffering and trials and tribulation, we can be thankful for them because they remind us of the satisfaction in Christ. And then finally, the last reason of why we ought to be thankful for the hardships and sufferings in our life is because they sanctify us. God uses them to sanctify us. James 1:2-4. Keep your finger there. We're going to go to a second place while we're here on this topic of in Romans 5, going back there. So keep your bookmark finger in two places there. Why should we be thankful for the hardships and trials in our life? It's because God uses them to sanctify us. James 1:2-4. Give a little context before we get too far into the text. James is writing to believers who are suffering. They are being persecuted. Their home is no more because of their persecution. And what does James write to them? Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Their specific suffering was that they were being scattered among the nations due to the persecution they were facing from believing in Christ. And James says, count it all joy, my brothers. What? It's kind of hard to count it all joy when you don't have a home, when you feel like the world hates you, which they do. How in the world am I to have joy in a time of suffering? How am I to have joy when my world is crashing and nothing will ever be the same again after this event? And then James answers that in verse 3. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Believer, who do we know that's perfectly steadfast? You can say it. God. Jesus. God uses our sufferings and our trials, and we can be joyful about them, after them, because we know in them he makes us more like Christ. And believers, that's who we want to be. We want to be like Christ. We want to be conformed more into the image of Christ. And God uses the worst moments in our life to make us more like Him. I love what one commentary said. It said, those who are suffering should have joy because trials serve as a path to Christian maturity. Romans 5 now tells us the same thing. We read it earlier, but it's good to read it again. 3 through 5, Paul says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Paul says, we can rejoice in our sufferings. Why? Because they produce endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Why? Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. He's been given to us. There is no earning. There is no working for Him to live inside of you. He has been given to us when we place our faith in Christ. Believers, as impossible as it may seem to be thankful for trials in our life, we can express gratitude for them and during them because we are reminded by Scripture that God, our holy and loving and gracious and righteous God, uses them to sanctify us, to make us more like His Son, who, by the way, He gave us so that we may be made right with Him, not just for a moment, but for eternity. Hardships are used by God to sanctify us more into the image of Christ. Therefore, we can express gratitude for them and during them because we know the result that will come about in us because of our God. Now, we've tackled the hard question. How or why should we be thankful for the hardships in our life? We can be because our gratitude is centered on Christ. Now, practically, how do we do that? How do we get to that point of always focusing on Christ? How do we get to that point of during the trial and suffering, after the trial and suffering, how am I to be grateful for them? I want to list off a couple for you. These may sound like Sunday school answers, but I'll be honest, Sunday school answers are the right answers. Amen? Jerry gave us a few this morning in Sunday school class. So if you were in there, this is going to sound very repetitive, but they're right and they're true. Number one, it's not one Jerry said. But number one, believer, you are to remind yourself of the gospel every single day. Genesis 3:15, Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, Romans 5 through 11, Romans 8, 1, Colossians 1, 12 through 14. I listed it off really fast, but here's the point. You should be in them anyway because they remind you that you have been saved by grace. By God's grace, you have been made right with Him in Christ. Read them, know them, memorize them, and preach these passages to yourself. You don't have to be a pastor to preach to yourself. You don't have to be some kind of scholar in the Bible to know what the Bible says, that you are a sinner, dead in your sins, and by God's grace and His love for you, made a way for you to be made right with Him through His Son. I don't ever aspire to be a doctor in the Bible. I don't think I can do it. But I don't need that degree to know what Scripture tells me about my God. The gospel is the fuel in the believer's life to do the will of the Lord, to live a life that is grateful for all that we have, all that we don't have, for all that we have experienced and all that we have not experienced. The gospel makes us grateful because the gospel has done for us what no other message or person can do, and that is make us a child of God. The gospel has made us children of the Father. We have scorned with our sin, whom we deserve His wrath. The gospel is everything for the believer. Let it be that which makes you thankful in all circumstances is the gospel. Number two, how to be grateful in all circumstances? Submerge yourself into the Word of God to know the God of the Word. Submerge yourself into the word of God to know the God of the Word. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 tells us that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be equipped for every good work. God's Word is always sufficient because God is always sufficient. Let us get to know the author of hope that is written on the pages before us. And in the end, the more we know of the Heavenly Father and all that He has done and all that He is doing, the more we are prone to be thankful in all circumstances because of and for Him. Again, this does not mean you cannot weep or cry or lament to the Lord. Please do that. As someone who has done it many a times, our God wants us to do that. But our God does not want us to be bitter. Our God does not want us to be ungrateful. He wants us to know Him. And through sufferings and pains and trials and the blessings that we have, we get to. But we primarily get to know Him in His Word. Number three, abide in prayer. Abide means to dwell in. Abide in prayer. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. This is one that Jerry talked about this morning. It tells us, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. This does not mean that God does not know everything. It means God wants us to come to Him. He wants us to come to Him in prayer. And we ought to, because God has graciously gifted us with a way to communicate to Him what's on our heart. He's given us a way to make our requests known to Him. Let us be a people who pray our gratitude is centered on Christ. You see, prayer is not just a means of making your requests known to God, but it is a means for Him to do something in you that normally wouldn't happen if you did not pray for it to happen. That makes sense? Prayer is a gift from the Lord and is a gift that we ought to use because it's a gift that will never be worn out. Let us be a people who pray our gratitude is centered on Christ so that we may be thankful in all circumstances. Number four of how we can be Christ-centered or have Christ-centered gratitude, surround yourself with grateful people of Christ. Surround yourself with people who are grateful for Christ. And the best place to do that is in the local church, or at least it ought to be. We ought to be a people, Turner's Chapel, that are most grateful in everything that we say and do every season of our life because we are most grateful for Christ. Hebrews 10, 23-25 tells us not to neglect to meet with one another and consider how to stir one another up. The local church ought to be the place where we find and the world finds the most grateful people because of who we have to be grateful for, and that's Christ. Therefore, if we desire to be better at being thankful in all circumstances, be around the people who are thankful for Christ as well. Now, easier said than done, especially with the hardships of life. If someone is going through something, and you know that, believer, Galatians 6, 1 through 3 tells us to bear each other's burdens, right? One way that believer who is hurting and suffering and it's hard to find a way to be thankful for what they're going through, when they're met by someone who just puts their arm around their shoulder, when they're met by someone who just sits down and doesn't say anything and just listens, or doesn't say anything and just sits with them, at the end of it, they can be thankful because they know that God allowed that person to be in their life, to comfort them in a time of hardship. Surround yourself with people that are grateful for Christ. And then lastly, we go back to the very passage we started with this morning by Big Kyle. Remember the Lord's deeds. Psalm 9, 1 through 2. This is where we started. For us to be grateful in all circumstances, we must remember what the Lord has done for us. Believer, you have moment after moment, circumstance after circumstance, situation in life after situation in life, where in the moment you thought there was no hope. And then God in His faithfulness brought you to a place of hope. Not because of the thing that you just got out of, not because of anything around you, but because He reminded you of Him. And therefore we can thank Him for the deeds in our life. We can thank Him for the deeds that He has done and the trials and sufferings and the blessings He has caused us to go through. This is where we look back and remember the Lord's faithfulness. We look back at moments when all hope was lost, where we knew life would never be the same after this, and we see the Lord's work in all of it and at the end of all of it. And we, like the psalmist in Psalm 9, 1 through 2, can exalt the Lord with praise to his holy and most high name. Christ-centered gratitude is gratitude centered, fueled, and sustained and completed by Christ. This Thanksgiving, as we sit around ready to eat the delicious ham and turkey and stuffing, mac and cheese, whatever it is that you eat. One year we did tacos. I don't know why we did that. But whatever you do on Thanksgiving Day, whatever food you eat, and someone asks you, what are you thankful for? Yes, be thankful for the blessings. List them off. But don't be afraid to list off the sufferings in your life. Don't be afraid to list off the pains in your life. Because if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't have ran to God. If it wasn't for those times in our life, we wouldn't know how to be grateful for the blessings in our life. Let us be grateful for all circumstances because we are most grateful for Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, I pray that we, your people here at Turner's Chapel, are a people who rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and Lord, as Thanksgiving comes around the corner, we be a people that gives thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because of what the rest of the verse says. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Lord, it is your will that we are thankful so that we glorify your name. May we be a people, Father, that express thankfulness every day because we have been dealt with better than we deserve in Christ. Father, make us more like him. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.